To Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, anger overload. Everybody's buttons are getting pushed these days. Are you struggling with anger? We're going to help you find peace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, anger overload. It seems like everyone's buttons are getting pushed these days. If you are struggling with your own anger about things going on in your life or relationships, or you find you're being more easily provoked to anger than usual, or for that matter, you're just tired of people taking their anger out on you, and you're not sure what graceful ways you can use to respond to those situations, we are here for you. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think it's so important to discuss this because anger is almost becoming our default in the world right now, where everybody is just kind of weary and fed up, and there's a lot of stuff pushing our buttons, and we just think that, God help us, this is the new norm. And I think it's very important to point out that it's not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be at a constant state of anger. You know, we're supposed to use our anger to work for good, for justice, but we're not supposed to just wallow in it and let it be here and just become our preset. And I feel like so many people are struggling with that, or struggling to in relationships where somebody has allowed that to happen to them.
Well, you know, I want to make a distinction right off the bat between, say, righteous anger and wrath, all right, the sin of wrath, because I think we tend to confuse those things. We get a lot of calls from folks who feel like being angry at all is sinful, and that's not the case. But what's the difference? Righteous anger is anger that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive. If we see an injustice, so first of all, that's important to say. Anger is the emotional response that God gave us to an injustice. We see something, we perceive something is wrong, an offense, an injury, and we feel angry about that.
And that can be a larger scale injustice where you're feeling angry because something's not right in society or toward a group of people or to a particular person. It can also be an injustice that's done to us. You know, it's okay to acknowledge that we can get angry when someone has treated us or is in the midst of treating us in an unjust way.
Right. And that anger, though, isn't a call to action. It's a call to prayer, right? So if my first response to that anger is to do whatever immediately comes to mind to, you know, lash back out at the person who hurt me, that's wrath. That's unjust anger, because I'm actually pouring fuel on the fire. I'm not addressing the injustice. I'm making the injustice worse by adding my own injustice to the pile. But going back to the difference between righteous anger and wrath, you know, righteous anger is my response to that injustice that's appropriate, proportionate, and productive. Whereas wrath is a response to an injustice that's inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive,
the
or even destructive.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I give in to that temptation to use my anger as a call to action instead of a call to prayer, I don't know how to respond to the injustice that's in front of me or that were being done to me. And as a result, I end up giving in to wrath. So, you know, being angry about something in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is if I don't take that anger to prayer and say, okay, Lord, you know, someone has hurt me or I've seen something that's wrong and I want to do something about it, help me to know the right way to address this that will actually glorify you, work for the good of the people involved, and help me be my best self. So that's what we're talking about today. How do you get to that place where if you are feeling angry about something, you do or you are able to produce an appropriate, productive,
proportionate response.
Thank
and
you.
I think it's so important to even take a moment because we all, you know, if we're familiar with Scripture, then many of us, when this topic comes up, either in our hearts or minds or, you know, on a show like this, we think back to the moment where Jesus showed such anger when there were money changers in the temple. And he looked at this sacred space, this place of his father that was being abused. And he really did show a great deal of anger. You know, he called them specific names. He, you know, he took a whip and didn't hit them, but he lashed it around to drive them out. But it wasn't wrath in that he didn't then chase them down and beat them or burn down the temple. Or, you know, what he did was he knew he needed to clean that place up, let people know why it was wrong to do what they were doing, to reclaim his father's house. And then it was over, you know, it didn't go on and on and on. It was intentional. It served its purpose.
Well, and what, you know, the interesting point about that, you know, if you do reading on commentaries on that, you find there were different courts in the temple.
Yeah.
And where those money changers were set up was called the Court of the Gentiles. That was the only part of the temple that non-Jews were allowed to enter. And the money changers were taking up all the space in the temple that the non-Jews could come and encounter Yahweh,
that's interesting.
And you know, so Jesus, by driving out the money changers, was sending the message that this message is for the whole world.
Yes.
Right, and so that's what his response was.
And it had its twofold purpose, to really, you know, the expression of the anger, and it was done, and he didn't walk up and say, well, excuse me, can we talk about this? You know, it wasn't like pinkies up kind of stuff. It protected the integrity of the temple, and B, opened up the temple, that area of the temple, to, as you were saying, Greg, the Gentiles, the whole world. But we see in this story that Jesus did get, from what we perceive in with our Western modern eyes, very, very angry. And yet, it met this criteria.
Of an appropriate, proportionate, and productive response.
Exactly, right? And it certainly was productive. So, you know, it's okay to feel angry. It's also okay for people around you to be angry, even if you're uncomfortable with it. It's what you do with that. Do you help it to become proportionate? Do you help it become productive? Or do you just not know what to do with it because you're dealing with it from this person or people all the time? We're here to help you with all those issues about anger, whether it's yours or someone else's today. At 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
Of course, the theology of the body has a lot to say, or a lot in terms of helping us deal effectively with all of our emotions, in particular anger.
Yeah, because of course, as we've been saying, you know, anger is a really complicated emotion, but the theology of the body reminds us that it was designed to work for our good and for the good of others. All our emotions are. Anger is meant to be a gift that calls our attention to, as you were saying, Greg, an injustice, and motivates us to act in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way to respond to that injustice. In order for anger to fulfill a godly purpose, we really need to stop trying to use it just to motivate other people.
That's right. Our anger is a terrible way to motivate other people. Anger isn't a club that we use to beat people into submission. It is a call to prayer and discernment. that allows us to determine the nature of the injustice that God wants us to address and identify the graceful response God wants us to make to it. So that's what we're helping you do today. Whether you're the person who is prone to anger these days, or you're tired of people taking their anger out on you, we want to help you formulate a graceful response that enables you to be appropriate, proportionate, and productive in the face of that injury or that wound or that wrong. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence, and we recognize that there are so many wrongs in the world, and so many times we feel offended or hurt in our relationships and in our life, and it's hard to know how to respond to those things in ways that are appropriate and proportionate and productive. Help us, Lord, to have the wisdom, the self-control, the compassion, but also the fortitude to address all those injuries and hurts and wrongs in ways that do glorify you, that do work for the good of those around us, and do help us be our best self. Help us to not run away from the battles that need to be fought, but help us to engage those issues in ways that bring true healing and peace out of the pain and out of the hurt. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We are taking your calls today about anger on our show titled Anger Overload. You know, the reality is everyone's buttons are getting pushed these days. Are there certain situations in your life or relationships that are making you angry? Do you find that maybe you're more easily provoked to anger than usual? Or are you just tired of people taking their anger out on you and you don't know what to do about it? We're here for you. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Dan, who's listening to EWTN Radio on St. Gabriel Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Dan, welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, Dr. Jen and Joy. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Greg and Lisa, but we're close. We like them, too. What can we do for you?
I just want to say I've been married for almost 12 years, and I am Catholic. My wife is not. Mm-hmm. And we have three children. I know this year has been particularly tough on a lot of people, especially in my household. But I just feel, especially this year, my wife is more angry at anything than usual, especially at me. I feel like she takes her anger out on me. I know I'm not perfect. I have my faults. But I feel like that I have to, every morning I wake up, I have to walk on eggshells.
So how do you respond to her anger right now? What do you do when she's demonstrating that anger toward you?
I kind of, basically, Jim, I know her. I mean, in a way, I kind of know her. I just don't, because I don't want to respond, because I feel like if I respond to her, she gets even more mad.
Okay.
You know?
And what is, and is there a particular thing that she's angry with you about?
If I know this may sound funny, if I like take the last cookie, or if I leave a knife in the sink that maybe should have went to the dishwasher, if I didn't put the load of laundry in the dryer from the washer,
mm-hmm.
And I know she talks to her friends behind my back about me, but she never tells me that what's wrong with her, or she's mad about me because she said.
Have you created a safe space for the two of you to have those kinds of conversations, though? Because right now you're saying you respond to all that by ignoring her. So, like, if you know she's upset about those kinds of things, how do you, as the head of the household, create a space in your marriage where you guys can have safe and productive conversations about what you need from each other?
We do, like, occasionally we wait till the children will go to bed, and we do have a conversation of, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, what do you need from me? And then, but that's how it usually is she'll tell me what she wants from me, but I never get the chance to say what I need from her.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do, Dan. When you're describing here is your wife, she's not taking her anger out appropriately. That you're absolutely right. Okay, and that's a really hard thing to do. But you're describing somebody who's feeling overwhelmed. You know, she's feeling upset. She's not feeling taken care of. I don't know why. You know, but that's a conversation you need to have with her. And it's okay. Of course, you have a right to expect that you can share what you need from her, but you need to create a space where you guys can have that conversation. And so I'm going to suggest a practice that Lisa and I do every day that is going to give you a better way to address the anger than waiting for her to be angry at you and then trying to figure out how to respond. I want you to wake up every morning, and when you first thing you do when you turn off the alarm, I want you to roll toward each other, and I want you to pray together. Right? And I want you, and specifically what I want you to do is I want you to say, Lord, help me to be the husband that my wife needs me to be. Help me to love her the way you want me to love her. Help me to find ways to make her day easier and more pleasant. Help me to find ways to show her how much I cherish her and treasure her and care for her. And help me to be the man that you need me to be, a man after your own heart. And invite your wife to pray a similar prayer. That's what we do every day, Lisa and I. So I will say that. Lisa will offer a similar prayer to be the wife that God wants her to be. And then we talk for like 5 minutes. What's going on today? And what is there something I can do to help make your day a little easier or more pleasant? What could I do to make you feel taken care of? Now, when you first start that conversation as a couple, generally speaking, you get a lot of, well, I don't know, because you haven't thought about it. But ask the question every day, and as a follow-up, say, well, look, I really am committed to trying to make your life easier and more pleasant. And I know I haven't always been there to do that, but I'm really, I really want you to think about that, because I'm going to ask you every day. And I'd like to know, what can I do? Lead by that example. And you might say, well, when do I get to tell her what I need? Well, you lead by that example, and she'll catch on.
Yeah, eventually she's going to say, and what do you need today?
And if she doesn't, give it a month, okay? If she doesn't after that month, go get some marriage counseling, because that means that you need some help, okay? But lead by example, and ask her every day, what is it that I can do? And at the end of the day, pray again. Lord, thank you for the times that I was able to do these things for my wife to kind of help her and let her know how much I do care about her and do love her and help me to be the man she needs me to be tomorrow. And pray together about this and talk at the end of the day. Was there something that I did today that did make a difference for you? Is there something I could have done that would make more of a difference? Learn from each other every day. But kind of bracket the day with that prayer and conversation about how you need to show up better for each other. Because just ignoring the issues and ignoring her is going to make it infinitely worse. Or just waiting to address it when she's upset is going to make it infinitely worse. Do this every day for a month. If you find at the end of the month things aren't better or you're not getting the feedback from her that you're needing as well, then it's time to seek some professional marriage counseling. We do talk about this whole process in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, which really walks you through the steps of how to create a marital spirituality that enables you to really show up for each other and be the husband and the wife that God want you to be. Again, the name of the book is Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com if you need more tips on how to make this actually work for you. But I think these suggestions will get you started. Thanks so much for the call, Dan. And if there's more we can do to support you and your relationship with your wife, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or to learn more about the book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, or our counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about anger, either your own anger or the anger that other people are unloading on you. If you're tired of it either way, we want to help you respond to those challenges gracefully. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Dominic Lombardi, who is the executive director of the USCCB's Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth, and he's going to be sharing some tips on how to address anger in a more godly way. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current health care plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about anger today on our show titled Anger Overload. Whether you are dealing with your own anger or struggling to manage those people who are unloading on you, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dominic Lombardi. He is the Executive Director of the USCCB's Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. And he's here to share some insights on how we can have a more godly relationship with our anger. Dominic, welcome to More to Life.
Greg and Lisa, a pleasure to be here.
Well, great to have you with us. So let's talk about that. I mean, I think that most people feel like anger, you know, when we say having a more godly relationship with anger, that seems counterintuitive, right? You know, we feel like anger is something that God doesn't want us to have. What does that mean to develop a more godly relationship with our anger?
Well, you know, anger is a reaction, a response to something, a disequilibrium either within ourselves or that we experience outside of ourselves. And so it's really important that we discern where that's coming from, where that anger is coming from, so that we can respond to it in terms of the truth that it's revealing to us at that moment.
So what I guess you're saying is what we were talking about earlier, the need to bring that anger to God and say, Lord, help me to understand, you know, what it is that I'm reacting to and what it is you want me to do about that, so that we're putting that anger in service of God's grace as opposed to in service of maybe our own emotions?
Yeah, so I think that so if we look at Jesus, and as you were sharing with the listeners, you know, that Jesus's anger and the cleansing of the temple, for instance, or the examples of anger with the Pharisees, or even Peter, for instance, who misunderstood his mission, that ultimately Jesus's anger seeks a kind of restorative relationship with God. It identifies the gap, the sin, the problem, and that it looks and brings us into a stance of a right relationship with God. And ultimately, Jesus gives witness to the profound generosity that we're called to in terms of our own anger or the anger of others that we experience.
So what would you say, for example, to those couples or families who are experiencing a lot more anger now, I mean, especially in the cultural, political climate? You know, how what are some simple things they can do to manage this anger more effectively in their relationships?
Well, you know, we do find that in our household, when things are boiling over a bit, that we kind of take a time out, and it's a moment of prayer, so that we perhaps we'll get a decade of the rosary in, or once we get up some momentum, we'll do the whole rosary, and then after that, we find that we can talk in a much different way. That in a certain sense, we let that wave of emotion move through us, and then we find that place with the Lord, with our family, with our spouse, so that we can perhaps say, I'm sorry, or I misunderstood you. But ultimately, then we'd be looking at the other and asking the other to look at us in terms of the goodness that is present in us. And so a stance of generosity and looking at the gift of the other person as a kind of, you know, response to anger, which says, you're getting in my way. You're a pain in the neck. You upset me, or vice versa.
Yeah, you know, what I like about this, you know, I think we have a knee-jerk tendency to think, okay, you know what, I'll go to God when I'm not angry anymore. You know, right now I don't want to bring that to him, or I want to fix it myself and then talk to him about it. You're suggesting actually bringing God into the anger, you know, and saying, you know, in right. that moment when we're upset with each other, the first thing we need to do is to talk to God about it so that he can then allow us to really talk to each other heart to heart and love each other through the anger instead of getting caught up in it.
Exactly. And that, you know, sometimes our pride gets in the way. And so that gives us an opportunity to kind of distance ourselves from a kind of prideful self-preservation and to be able to say after that prayer, I'm sorry, I overreacted, or to kind of be open to the other person in terms of what they want to say. And so we find that bringing the Lord into that moment is the best thing to do.
Amen. Dominic, thank you so much for those insights. We really appreciate your time. And, of course, you guys do a great job supporting marriage and family life. And I really encourage people to check out your website, foryourmarriage.org, foryourmarriage.org. It's the USCCB's site promoting marriage and family life and offering great practical insights on how to have a godly marriage and family life, foryourmarriage.org. Have a great day, Dominic. Blessings to your family.
Thank you, Greg and Lisa. You too.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about anger, either your own tendencies to get provoked to anger and lash out, or the weariness you feel at having other people take their anger out on you. What's a graceful way to respond either way? We're here for you, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Americans are voting. The two major parties represent very different ways of protecting religious liberty, the preborn, and selecting the judges who should interpret our laws. Much is at stake. Many years ago, I read a book called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, and I learned that our chief opponents on earth are not human beings, but principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Naturally, our weapons of war must include prayer and fasting. Imagine it. God has granted American believers the dignity and opportunity of changing American history through supernatural means. So don't neglect the tools he's given us, and don't let the perfect become the enemy of the good. If you can't pray and fast every day, do so when you can. St. Catherine of Siena said, God can't use what we won't give him, but he won't despise even our humblest effort. So go out, pray, and vote.
There was no single event. It was more gradual. You know, eventually you just don't go one Sunday, and then you don't go two Sundays in a row. Then went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, AveMariaRadio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home.
But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their siblings soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
We are taking your calls about anger, but before we continue, I wanted to take a minute about some good news. We want to congratulate a longtime member of the EWTN Radio family. Our congratulations to Evangelist Radio, FM 91.3 WSJE, serving Somersville, West Virginia, just about 3 hours south of us, actually. Well, a special thanks to Louise and Jeff Molnar, who've been working very hard to keep this great station on the air for the last 10 years. Yay!
That's amazingly wonderful.
Again, congratulations on your anniversary to Evangelist Radio, FM 91.3 WSJE, serving Somersville, West Virginia, and a proud member of the EWTN Radio family.
And of course, if you're listening on on that wonderful station, make sure you support them. It is a rough
wherever
time.
You're listening, yeah, wherever support you're, Catholic radio.
Yeah, whatever your Catholic radio station is that brings you this wonderful content every day, not us wonderful, but all this wonderful content.
Well, we're pretty
truly
wonderful too,
has so. Been helping so many people stay sane, stay healthy, stay connected to God and the Church through this really difficult time. And I think more than ever we realize how precious EWTN and all of its affiliate stations are. So remember to support that because, you know, it's harder than ever to keep it all going in this time.
877-573-7825. We're talking about anger today on More to Life and whether you find yourself being more prone to anger than usual, or you're just prone to anger in general, and you're tired of it, or you're tired of other people taking their anger out on you, and either way, you're not sure what a more graceful response would be, let's talk it out. We've given a lot of different ideas, tips so far, but how do we apply them to your life and your challenges? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Amber, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi there, Amber. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
So I've gotten really good. I recognize and realize that when I get angry, I need to walk away, pray about it, think about it, and then come back and talk to the person I'm angry with. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I even solve it. I don't even need to talk to them. I solved it because it was my overreaction. But for the most part, my husband and I, we don't have arguments very often. But when we do, and he gets very, very angry with me, I'll say to him, okay, we need to step back, or I need to step back because I can't. It's too much. And so I'll try to walk away, and he won't let me walk away. And sometimes, like one time, I should just leave the house for a little while and let him cool off and I can think and he can think. And he wouldn't even let me leave, like, get in my car. Like, says, no, you're not leaving. He looks at it as if I'm running away from the situation. He doesn't understand that I'm trying to, like, defuse the situation and let him take a step back. And so I just don't know how, like, I have thought so much about that situation that day that I feel like it was almost an abusive situation towards me, and I don't want it to happen again because we're so strong everywhere else, but obviously sometimes anger.
Have you ever talked about this when you're not in the middle of it? Like, do you go back to it afterward when you guys are calm and say, look, you know, I really need us to talk through what that's all about and how to handle that better?
I have, and I've told him, you know, I really need this space. And he says, I just want to attack it right then. And I don't know, like, and I think he does respect me sometimes, like, when he understands, because, you know, sometimes your anger is worse than others and you're more understanding than some, you know, maybe your day was easier or something. But he just doesn't seem to, I don't know, in the heat of the moment, he just almost can't control himself. And I don't know.
Well, he can't. Yeah, he can. His whole logical brain is completely shut down. If you threw him on a PET scanner during the midst of that, you'd just see, like, black. Like, he just can't...
The logical brain goes offline.
He can't function. On top of that, I'm pretty sure, and guessing, I don't know your husband, but from the way you describe the reaction, he's got a fear of some kind of abandonment. Either he's not going to be heard, or you're not going to listen and really be there with him, or that you're going to ignore him. You know, perhaps some adult in his life never really heard out his needs because they just were there like, oh, that's okay, dear, we'll get back, and they never did. One of the things I'm hearing in the way you're asking for this space that you need so that you can be logical and calm and not deal with this, you know, storm that he's coming at you with, is that you're not making a plan for when you're going to come back to it, which may ease his fear that he's going to be ignored and abandoned. So I like the fact that you're saying, honey, we really need a break. I don't want to just be reactive in this argument. But I really want you to come to him when you're totally calm, that you haven't argued in a while, and just say, you know what, when we argue, I'm just trying to make sure we're still being rational and loving and taking care of each other. I need a break sometimes so that I can think logically and that you can too. Is there a way I can tell you I need that and plan for a time to come back and pick up the argument more logically? How can we do that together?
Well, and chances are, initially, he's going to say no to that because he's already telling you, no, I just want to handle it
right then. I want to handle it all the time.
So the other thing you need to do is kind of talk through what we talk about in both For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and How to Heal Your Marriage, the emotional temperature scale that Lisa was alluding to, actually, when she first started to kind of respond, that when she was saying that he can't think rationally. Because if you imagine an emotional temperature scale from 1 to 10, you know, we can handle problems pretty well and pretty effectively up until you get to, say, about a 6 or maybe a 7. And let me explain what that means behaviorally. At about a 6, you're able to... It's a little bit like faking sober when you're buzzed. You can do it, but it takes some effort, right? So you're angry, but you don't want other people to know that you're angry at a 6. So you're keeping it in, and people kind of tell you're off. But if they ask you, what's wrong? You say, oh, nothing, I'm fine. I'm just a little bit, you know, whatever. I'm okay. You know, and you're even denying it to yourself. But you can still be solution-focused and still be respectful at that 6, 6.5. At a 7, that's where your nonverbal signals are going offline, right? And at that point, you're rolling your eyes, you're huffing and puffing. There are all kinds of behavioral signs that you're frustrated with this other person, and you're fed up with them. And at each step along the way, your logical brain is turning off more and more and more, and you're just reacting more and more and more. At an 8, now your verbal filters are starting to collapse, right? And at that point, you're not yelling and screaming, but you are lecturing and running off at the mouth. Or maybe you're just shutting down and agreeing with the person to shut them up. At a 9, that's where the name-calling and the yelling and screaming, or the complete stonewalling starts to happen because you can't take it anymore. And at a 10, now almost your moral filters collapse where you're going to do things that you're going to regret later. So the point being here that anything over a 7 is completely irrational and reactive, and you might not even feel all that upset. But as soon as you get to the point where you're at that 8, where you're talking at the person rather than talking with the person, you're not attacking the problem anymore. And I want you to walk through that with your husband whenever he's calm, because he's raised that objection, well, no, I want to attack the problem right then. And there are two things to it. The first one is exactly what Lisa said. He's afraid that if he doesn't deal with it right then when he's angry, he's not going to be heard or not going to deal with it later. So you need to do what she's suggesting and affirming the fact that, look, here is the time we can come back to this. I need a break now, but let's come back to it in an hour. I need a break now, but let's come back to it, you know, at breakfast tomorrow.
And you
give
can
a specific
even,
time.
You can even add to that, honey, I want to make sure I'm processing what you're saying so I can give you a good answer. So reassure him that you're invested. But say, I can't do that unless I have some time to think. So let's come back to this after I've had an hour. Or let's, you know, you have to set a time that you'll actually come back, because people don't want things to just disappear and not be heard.
But the second part of that is going through this emotional temperature scale and saying, look, as passionately as you are about attacking the problem right now, as soon as you get up to an 8 or higher, we're not solving anything. We're just reacting to each other. And we can't learn, and we can't listen, and we can't grow, and we can't change. All we can do is take it out on each other, and I don't want to have those kinds of discussions with you. And in fact, I won't have those kinds of discussions with you. So as much as I love you, if I see it getting up to an 8, I'm going to call time out, and I need you to respect me enough to listen to that. I promise you we'll come back to it, but we need that break. I'll just throw out one other thing out here, just as a general thing. Taking a break is not enough to actually get back on track.
That is so important to mention.
You know, because a lot of times people will walk away from an argument, and they'll calm down because they watch TV or they go do something else to get some space from it. But then they come back to it, and they pick up right where they left off. They left off the argument at an 8, and they pick it right back up at an 8. And they're like, why is that? Well, because walking away from it isn't enough. You have to use that time that you walk away from it to develop empathy for the other person. If you haven't taken that time during your break to pray about the thing and say, Lord, help me to see this problem from the other person's point of view, you might not agree with them, but you at least need to respect it and empathize with the pain that they're in. So you can come back to it, the argument, and say, look, I was really hurt by what you said, or I was really hurt by the way this went, but I understand where you're coming from. I'd like to talk about a better way to handle that. Or I want you to know that I'm on your side, and your needs are as important to me as mine are, but we need to figure out a way to get both of these things met. You see the difference in reengaging that, as opposed to, all right, fine, I guess we're ready to talk about it again now. Unless you take that break to cultivate some empathy for the other person, you're going to pick it up right where you left off, and it's not going to go well.
Or even at a higher level, because you've taken that hour, and all you can think about is your side of it and how mad you are. So you can either pick it up right at that level or make things worse by taking that break. But if you work on taking that break with an assigned time of when you will discuss this again, and it is okay to say, we can talk about this tomorrow night after work, and give yourself a whole night to sleep, as long as you both agree that this is what we're going to do. And then really work on that empathy and trying to figure it out from their point of view, making sure you pray and ask God to really help you guys heal the situation.
But again, the thing that's going to make the most sense to your husband is the stuff about this emotional temperature piece, because he's objecting to the idea of the break because he's afraid that it won't get handled if it doesn't get handled right then. You need to show him that handling it right then at an 8 or higher prevents you from actually being able to learn from each other, listen to each other, and grow and change from the discussion. So add that piece to it. We actually talk about these things in both For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and in our other book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. You can pick up both of those at CatholicCounselors.com.
And if you need that guide for him to be able to see that emotional temperature in print so he can read through it, it is there. So.
And it's in both of them. So thanks so much for the call, Amber. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to call us back here on the show or check out those resources at CatholicCounselors.com. Again, the books For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. We're going to take a break right now, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 37, verses 8 and 9.
Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Psalm 37, 8 and 9.
Inspiring, challenging words for us today on this show about anger. Take it to heart. When we come back, we are taking more of your calls about how to apply these ideas about managing your own and other people's anger gracefully. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue in just a minute.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Anger Overload. Everybody's buttons are getting pushed these days.
They sure are. Everywhere you look.
And whether you are the person who is prone to anger or you're tired of dealing with everybody else taking out their anger on you, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rita, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hey, Rita. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have never, ever done this before, but I have a problem with my sister, and I'm thinking of just cutting her out of my life completely, but and then I heard your, I listen to Catholic radio all the time, so I was listening to you, and I thought, well, okay, I think I'll call before I make a decision.
Just making sure that it's not the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder. It's a good thing to do. It's always good to check.
So what can we do for you?
I know I've been guilty of, you know, sometimes of not, you know, listening, but. We've got one particular issue right now, and for the last three conversations we've had, it's driven me to where I get angry with her. And okay. I told her, I said, you know, like the last time, I said, don't bring this up anymore. I said, we can't have this conversation. You're not going to change my mind the way I feel, blah, blah, blah.
Is this now? Is this a personal issue, or is this more of a like political thing?
Well, no, it's not political. It's personal. It has something to do, you know, within the family, and she just won't let it drop. I have a nephew who supposedly was in what he's saying, and he's got her believing that he was in the Vietnam War and was in a prisoner of war camp for a month, and I said, well, Angela, the timeline doesn't add up. He would have to be 15 or 16 years old to be in the war, and if he was captured and in a prisoner of war camp, how come nobody in the family knew about it?
So why, you know, this is something that is, you know, God bless all our veterans, but this goes back a ways. So what is her intention in bringing up? What change is she trying to affect? I'm hoping there's something that we can work with there.
She thinks I'm being hard-hearted and that I won't. And I said, look, Angela, you know, my husband was a Vietnam veteran, and he served in Vietnam. But the thing is, I said, you know, so she's trying to convince me. I said, you're not going to convince me unless I have proof.
To what end, Rita? What does she want from you about your nephew? Does she want you to treat him differently? Does she want... What is this? Because just to say, okay, yeah, he served, then what?
I don't know. I don't know necessarily that it's even that, but I think whether she's trying to say, hey, you're wrong, I don't know the purpose of it.
So you don't know what her intention is.
Yeah.
So before you end up start discerning whether you should cut her out of your life or not, what you need to do is figure out why this is important to her. You know, to say to her, okay, look, let's, for the sake of argument, say this is true. I mean, I'm not...
For the sake of argument. I mean, we're not saying you have to agree to something that is not, you know, clear to you. We're just saying, for the sake of argument, let's say it's true.
What are you saying you need me to do? You know, what is it? How is it you're saying you need me to change the way I relate to my nephew here? You know, is there something that you're suggesting I need to do differently? Is there something, you know, what's the point of this conversation? Because unless you know the point, you're going to get bogged down in all these details that are really irrelevant. I mean, what difference does it make, you know, at this point in life, right?
And I have to say, this is, you know, she's bringing up a very difficult part of your history and your family life, of our national history. But this is true for just about any argument. If we spend time going over, well, you said this. No, I didn't use that word. I used this word. And we get bogged down in the history of who said
you know,
what.
This happened. Well, no, it didn't happen that way at all.
It's the first way that Satan comes in to sweep in and say, I can keep these two arguing forever, and they will never let the grace of God into it. They'll never bring healing. They'll never bring justice. They'll never get to the point. And so to say to her, okay, for the sake of argument, if this is true, what is it you're asking of me? What are you asking me to do differently? What need do you see that our nephew has here? What's going on? If she can't either articulate that, you can say, well, get back to me when you know what your desire is here, because that I'm willing to listen to. Or you can really hopefully have her in a place where she begins to say, oh, well, no, I'm just arguing a point. Like, there's really nothing you need to change. Where then you're absolutely to rights to say, let's agree to just not talk about this anymore, because there's no point.
And anytime she brings it up, if she does bring it up again, you say, look, we talked about this. We're not going to agree to, so I need to not talk about this. So there are lots of other things in our relationship I can focus on. If you'd like to discuss those with me, you know, we can continue the call. Otherwise, we're going to have to go.
But let's go back to what we started the show with the theology of the body point, that anger is meant to be a gift that calls our attention to an injustice and motivates us to act. She's somehow thinking there's an injustice going on. But unless she can label that and tell you what it is she wants to see done differently, then you're absolutely right. You can't talk about it. If she can, that's when you take it to prayer and say, is what she asking for just? Does it work for my good, my nephew's good, her good in some way that God is asking me to attend to this? Or is she just beating a drum that really has nothing to do with anything, and I really, you know, just either have to call it on this or the relationship's too out of control? That's your discernment process, Angie. When you were saying, I was going to cut it off, but I was listening to Catholic radio and this came up, that's the discernment process. You ask her what her real intention is. If she can tell you what it is, you pray about whether there's something just that you can do that God's asking you to do or change in the situation. Or you say to her, this isn't worth discussing because there's nothing we can do about it, and you cut that off. If she keeps going at it, just trying to instigate a fight, then you know it's somebody who just really loves to fight with you, and that's a different story. But it gives you a discernment process to take to prayer.
So start with that, and we're not going to address the larger question about setting boundaries just yet because you're not at that point.
Right.
So if you have this conversation with her and identify the point to this whole argument, and you still need to set boundaries, call us back and we'll walk you through those steps.
But how to do it in a healthy way that doesn't just blow everything up.
Yeah, but for right now, the most important thing is actually figuring out, why are we doing this? You know, what's this conversation really about?
What's this about?
Because there's got to be a larger issue that's just being completely ignored. Well, you know, that's really all the time we've got for calls. But I want to, you know, wrap up with, you know, kind of where we started in all this, mm-hmm. Okay? Anger in and of itself is not a sin, but it is also not a call to action. Right? When we get angry about something, our job is not to offload our anger on somebody else right away. That anger is not a call to action, it is a call to prayer. And it's not, oh God, just take away the anger and don't let me be angry anymore. No, it's God, help me understand why I'm angry and how you want me to respond to this anger in a way that will glorify you, work for the good of the people around me, and help me be my best self too. Because that way, God gives us the grace to address the injustice or the wound or the injury or the offense that needs to be addressed so we can actually build the kingdom of God instead of just burning it down on our outrage or ignoring the problem. You know, there's a problem if you're angry, and God is calling your attention to it by making you angry about it. But then he asks you to bring that anger back to him to say, let me teach you how to deal with that anger. Because all of our emotions are out of whack because we're broken and sinful. And unless we bring our emotions to God and say, Lord, teach me what to do with this, we're going to go off half-cocked and make bigger problems than we've even got. So the anger is not the problem. The problem is the challenge to go to God and discern what we're upset about and what he wants us to do about it. And if we can do that, we can redeem that anger. And it can be a tool for justice and healing. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to check out the resources we mentioned on the show, including How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love and For Better Forever, as well as our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is all about setting appropriate and healing boundaries with folks. Check those out at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also learn about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. And remember to get out there and celebrate the life God created for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.